The definition of a job is a paid position of regular employment, but that doesn't really fit with zero-hour contracts. The Employment Minister, Stephen Farry, has just announced he will not ban zero-hour contracts in Northern Ireland following a review of their use. The contracts allow employers to hire staff with no guarantee of work. Let's speak to Minister Farry now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. I'm Bumper Graham from NIPSA. Morning, Bumper.
Morning, Stephen.
So zero-hour contracts, they're fair, Stephen. So fair that you want to keep them.
Well, no, I don't believe that they're fair. And in many cases, they do cause real hardship for people. So I do accept this is an area of considerable public concern. It may well work for some people in some circumstances, but for many others, they are the only option available to them in terms of employment. I think the point I would stress is that while we're not at this stage considering an outright ban, we are proposing quite considerable regulation in order to ensure that we are moving with the times and that we are giving as much protection as we can to people in those situations.
What situations?
Well, being in a zero-hours contract, because, first of all, we do have to have a flexible labour market. And the reason that we're not going for an outright ban is that in that context, there may well be some unforeseen consequences in terms of denial of employment opportunities, and also that we end up with a situation where we end up with the same problem.
How would there be a denial of an employment opportunity if you got rid of zero-hour contracts? How?
Have to appreciate that we've seen changes in our labour markets, not just in Northern Ireland, but elsewhere in the UK and indeed further afield. So we're seeing different types of employment contracts and relationships emerge.
Yeah, but what employment opportunity, Stephen, could someone be denied if they couldn't avail of a zero-hour contract?
Well, what I'm saying there, Stephen, in the event that we actually go for an outright ban, we may well see people actually losing their job because some type of employment situations are no longer feasible. But what I'm trying to do is...
Which is, in other words, what? That an employer can keep someone dangling on a string, doesn't need to give them any commitment, and then can just ring them and say within 2 hours' notice, by the way, we need you in, and if you're not coming in, if you don't drop your children, if you don't get them minded within a couple of hours, we're never using you again. That type of, as some people would describe it, exploitation?
Let me be very clear, Stephen. I'm not seeking to justify zero-hours contracts. And in a moment, I'll maybe come on to explain what we are proposing to
do. You're the minister that isn't banning them.
Yes, the reason that we're not proposing a ban is that we need to be very careful in that we don't overreach and go for a disproportionate response to what is a problem that actually leads to people losing their jobs.
But Stephen, do you believe in them? Unemployed. Do you believe in them?
No, I don't believe that it is the way to go. I do recognise that in some situations they may provide a solution, for example, for people who are semi-retired or students or other people who actually welcome the flexibility. But in the majority of cases, they may well be the only option that is available to people in terms of...
But someone who is semi-retired, someone who's a student who wants flexibility, why couldn't they simply work as they go? Why couldn't they simply be on some type of arrangement where they can work for many different people over a course of many different months? What does the zero-hour contract achieve?
Well, in some situations, one of the problems that we are trying to address is the issue of exclusivity, where people may be barred from actually working from more than one employer.
Yeah.
That's the type of situation that we actually are trying to address as part of the proposals.
You're going to ban that, are you?
That's one of the proposals. We're also looking to do a statutory code, which actually sets out people's rights whenever they are in a zero-hour situation. And there's this misconception that people have no rights. In that context, people are fully entitled to the full range of employment protections. But it's important that we properly articulate that. And perhaps the most innovative thing, Stephen, that we're contemplating, and this goes beyond what is currently proposed in Great Britain, is in the context after 6 months, someone would have the right to request a proper contract if they have been on a zero-hours contract, and also that the employer has to provide an objective reason why someone should not be moved into a different type of contract. So they have to provide a clear business justification for keeping someone on a zero-hours contract.
If you want to speak to Minister Farry this morning, 08459 555 678, maybe you're on a zero-hour contract yourself. Bumper Graham from NIPSA, your reaction?
Well, disappointing, Stephen, that whilst there's some limited movement in this, zero-hours contracts are the bane of many workers currently. You know, it's reminiscent of the days when the dockers used to have to go and queue up at the dock gates and hope that the stevedore would take them on for an hour or two and with no rhyme or reason could say, no, you're not getting the work. But there's some interesting points that the minister hasn't dealt with to date anyway, and what I have seen. He talks about after a six-month period, these workers can have a right to ask the employer. But employment protection doesn't kick in until after a year. So if an employee goes and asks an employer and the employer just sacks them, how's the minister going to deal with that? What does represent an objective reason? Because we know business says an objective reason is the bottom line.
Stephen?
Well, first of all, I mean, these are areas where we are developing proposals. We have a headline commitments that we're seeking to get approval from the executive over the coming weeks to form new draft legislation. This will then be subject to the detailed scrutiny in the Assembly and the committee in the Assembly. Also, I'm very open to hearing people's testimonials, both from those people who are in a ZOR's situation and also employers, to get a better understanding of the circumstances where we're seeing those in Northern Ireland. But in this context, I mean, we are looking to see what we can do to provide stronger protection. I want to make sure that we don't create a situation where we actually create more unemployment and deny people employment opportunities, while at the same time ensuring that we do all we can to provide people with the protection that they deserve whenever they're in an employment situation. And I'm open to a different balance in terms of the approach that we take in terms of legislation. But what's important is that Northern Ireland now moves to regulate zero hours contracts. They're currently not regulated in Northern Ireland, and it's important that we move in that direction. We recognise that we have a more casual labour market, but we have to make sure that if businesses want to go down that route, that regulation keeps up,
keeps up
with the developments.
Well, I mean, the simple way of dealing with this is to ban zero-hours contracts. Zero-hours contracts are an abuse of the worker. They do little for the economy in Northern Ireland because the vast majority...
Are they an abuse of the worker if the worker voluntarily signs up to them?
Well, people don't voluntarily sign up. People are forced into these contracts, so they are, because there is no alternative to it. But also, people in zero-hours contracts tend also to be the people who are a minimum wage, and in fact, on many occasions, employers also abuse the minimum wage. So that's not doing an awful lot for the Northern Ireland economy. What we need to do is to have an economy that respects and treats workers fairly and that gets them above the minimum wage. To continue with zero-hours contracts is, again, paying sucker to big business, who the corporate begging bowl in Northern Ireland is massive, and yet every day the CBI, the IOD, the Small Business Institute are all crying about their poverty and stuff, but they get more subsidies than anybody else, and zero-hours contracts is another way of subsidising corporatism.
The local businessman Erwin Armstrong listening to this, a way of subsidising local corporate behaviour, Erwin.
Well, I'm accustomed to bumpers, dogma, and all of these things. You know, the world moves on. Today we have 60-inch flat-screen TVs. In the 50s, we had 14-inch black and white. People want...
It's a pity the employers are still in the pre-television era.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, we are right up at the front end in the flat-screen trying to make a profit to employ people. You know, that's where we're at. And some of the nonsense you're talking, it is absolutely crazy. You know, if you take a situation where a hotel does functions, you cannot employ people 40 hours a week to do functions because hotels don't operate that way. They have some nights where they need people, some nights where they don't. So most hotels will have a pool of people where they will ring them up and say, look, can you come in tomorrow evening and do 4 hours? And women...
And the way of dealing with that, Erwin, is to say, right, we will give you a guaranteed minimum contract of 10, 15 hours per week.
How do you do that? Because you don't know how many functions. You don't know how many functions you have in the week.
Well, hotels don't get functions booked at the 11th hour. I mean, I book the biggest conference in Northern Ireland each year. I'm booked 3 years ahead for where our conference is going to be held. Hotels well know in advance when they've got major functions, weddings,
So 1 week they've got one function, and you want the hotel to pay them for four functions whenever they only have one. Hotels are not full every night of the week. They may.
You can still give people a guaranteed minimum amount of hours rather than abusing them.
How can you do that if you don't have work for them? You want them to come and sit in the foyer of the hotel doing nothing. That's not going to be good for the future of the hotel. You have got to have a flexible labour market that works to the advantage of women who want the flexible
no,
time.
The advantage
you want it for students.
Flexible labour market that works to the advantage of the bosses.
Okay, all right.
No, no,
listen,
no, it works to the advantage of the people who are actually.
Interesting stuff. Thank you, Erwin and Minister Farry and Bumper Graham. Thank you. Morning to you all.